Now, Minister Niall Collins, I want to ask you about the number of younger Ukrainian refugees who are going to be coming to the country as a result of a lifting of the travel bar on 18 to 22-year-olds, which had been the case since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Your line minister, Jim O'Callaghan, asked the government to note that there was a 226% increase between September of this year and September of last year in the number of Ukrainians who came to Ireland seeking temporary protection. What does notes mean? Does that mean there was preparation being done, or does that mean you're just simply taking note of it?
Well, I think it's just, as you've said, he wanted to make his cabinet colleagues and by extension the government aware of the fact that the government in Ukraine removed the travel ban for 18 to 22 year olds that had previously been in place. That happened towards the latter end of August. So Ireland is no different to all of the other EU member states. We experienced, along with everybody else across Europe, an increase, a spike in the numbers of younger Ukrainian people presenting themselves to Ireland. Now, I think really it remains to be seen whether this is to come and see relatives, whether it is going to be, you know, if it's a new wave of people leaving Ukraine or whether it's temporary. So,
but surely it'd be prudent to prepare for the latter, no?
Well, we obviously didn't have a heads up in relation to the decision taken by the Ukrainian government, but I think it's fair to say that we have a cohort of Ukrainian people who are in state accommodation, state-provided accommodation, and we have a similar cohort who are in private accommodation, which is supported by the state. Those numbers have been falling, you know, month and month over the last 6 to 9 months. So there is capacity within our accommodation setting. These new arrivals are entitled to accommodation under the Temporary Protection Directive for a period of 90 days. And we have, as you know, as a country, signed up to the Temporary Protection Order to extend it out to March 2027.
Okay.
So we're committed to that. We're not going to resile from that. We have seen a spike during the month of September, there is no doubt, but it remains to be seen how sustained that will be.
Okay, Lynn Boylan, your party's, as of last night, issued a statement critical of the government's approach to this.
Well, I think for me, what it echoes is what I heard from Ukrainian families back earlier this year who had young sons particularly who came when they were about 12 years of age, 13 years of age, and were terrified to go back to Ukraine because they didn't want their children fighting. And I think looking at those numbers now, it shows you that there's a lot of young Ukrainians who also don't want to be cannon fodder in this war. And I think that that should be a note to everybody within the EU that we need a concerted peace effort.
But isn't it a good thing then? So those families might argue that the Temporary Protection Directive was extended.
Well, it's important for the families. I mean, for me, I think that when I'm in Europe, in Brussels, it's constantly, and even this week we had another resolution, which is all about warmongering. It's all about tooling up. It's not sending out any message that the EU is actually credible or serious about a peace process.
I know, but here's a system that effectively grants people the status of, as it were, refugees without clogging up the international protection system. You don't want to extend that. That's effectively saying you don't want people who may be conscripted coming here.
Well, I think what we want is peace. That's what we want.
Sure, but in the absence of peace, these people are vulnerable to conscription.
Well, that is true. And I think that should be the message that goes out to all of the leadership and the governments across the EU, is that the young people of Ukraine do not want to be cannon fodder, that they want a peace process and that the EU needs to shift its direction.
Okay, but are you prepared to just leave them there until they age into the bracket that would leave them vulnerable to conscription?
No, we are very keen to see, as I said, the war to end. And that is where Sinn Féin's, you know, priorities are, is calling that at every opportunity within the EU, is to de-escalate the militarisation, to dial down the rhetoric, the warmongering rhetoric that you're seeing, and to have a serious conversation about a peace process
Kieran
at
O'Hearn,
the EU.
How do you think these young Ukrainians benefiting from temporary protection should be treated?
Look, I mean, we are going to have asylum seekers coming over here. We are going to, due to war, due to climate change, this is something, you know, that is just a fact of modern life now. We have to be able to deal with it fairly. You know, this does, as Lynn said, speak to the need to end the war in Ukraine. That's the most important thing. These are small, sure. These are small numbers of people coming over here. We have always given a huge Cade Mila Fáilte. We have host families here. Not all of the people coming over are going into international protection. Some of them are coming here and working for themselves and funding themselves.
All right, but do you agree that the temporary protection directive shouldn't have been extended?
No.
And you think people should be afforded protection here, these 18 to 22-year-olds should be afforded protection here.
Okay, yeah. We want to see an end of the war, but an end to the war, but until then, yes.
Okay, if the rate of arrival continues, Niall Collins, what preparations are being made for all of that? You've already cut welfare rates here. You've put the 90-day limit, as you say, on state-provided accommodation. But 1,700 come in 1 month from Ukraine. What's being done in case that happens in other months? Because at the beginning of this crisis, the government said, well, look, nobody expected Russia to invade Ukraine. Nobody could have expected us to have been prepared. That ship has sailed now. Surely the government should have a contingency plan that's for the worst-case scenario.
Well, look, at its height, we had almost 122,000 Ukrainians came to our country, and we were able to manage that. And I would acknowledge, and I would be the first to point out that some of it was chaotic, but there was a huge surge. I think we will have learned from that previous experience. The Department of Justice, obviously, the section which deals with the whole Ukrainian response has transferred into the Department of Justice from the previous Department of Equality and Children. And, you know, the people who are working in that section, they have the benefit of that experience and they are monitoring it. So I think we need to see how it goes. We have obviously spare capacity within our Ukrainian state-sponsored, state-provided, state-funded Ukrainian accommodation centres, and as I said, they can use that for a 90-day period. But and Ciarán has made this point. The Ukrainian people coming to this country, a vast majority of them are actually working. You know, the PPS registration data shows that they are working.
That's not a bad thing. Okay,
just to finish one half sentence in relation to this, Ukraine is an accession country into the European Union, and I think we have to recognise that, and we have to live up to our commitments in relation to it.
Okay, all right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back looking at the decision to drop hate speech legislation after this.
Saturday with Conor Mo Mungon on RTE Radio 1.